welcome to this month's edition of Talk Jet. This is Coach Bill Hart, and I am really, really fired up about this interview with Steve Harney. Steve Harney is the founder of Keeping Current Matters and truly just one of my favorite people in the world, certainly in the real estate and mortgage industry. He has carved out such a unique place in both of our industries, and today he's got a completely compelling message for all of us, and that is the gap between what the public thinks is required right now for affordability and the reality. And so what that creates is an enormous opportunity for all of us to take that message to the streets and actually create more opportunity in business. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Steve Harney.
Well, Steve, welcome, old friend. And how is everything in New York this morning?
Actually, it's an absolutely gorgeous day here. My office is here in New York, and just getting ready for another, you know, finishing up one powerful week, looking to get into the next powerful week. So.
Good for you. Good for you. So I'm very excited about the fact that it sounds like you're able to move more into the zone of really just focusing on the things that you want to and that you love to do, as your son Bill now is really taking over the day-to-day mechanics of running the company, and this makes you the chief content officer. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, that's exactly the case. And
love that.
My son is taking over the running of the business and allowing me to go right to my passion, which is putting together the best content and doing the you know, working with our research team, you know, finding the best information available for both real estate and mortgage professionals across the country, and putting it into a format that they can simply understand it and simply explain it to buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
So
that's
what I
do
every day now,
well.
And it's what I'm passionate about. So I love waking up every morning.
Well, I don't think it gets any better than that as a coach. That's kind of my mission, is to help people find the way to get there, and so that's a beautiful segue into how did that become true for you? Work backwards, if you will. Take us back to the beginning of real estate and your company and so forth, and then how Keeping Current Matters began. I would love for people to hear that story.
Sure. My real estate career spanned a little over 30 years. The first 8 years, I was an agent. The last seven of those eight years, I was either the top agent or one of the top three agents in my county. So, which means I listed and sold a lot of real estate. I did this. I sat at a lot of kitchen tables. I brought a lot of buyers around to a lot of houses. I learned this from the ground up. Then I was promoted to take over an office for a rather large national brand. That office, we used the same things I used as an agent. I taught within that office, and that office became the second largest office as far as production is concerned in the country for that brand. And from there, I decided to open my own firm, which we started as a one office, and we thought we'd, you know, list and sell some properties, and that very rapidly grew into a 13-office, 550-agent real estate company here in New York. Which I sold a couple of years ago. I thought I was going to retire, Bill, to be honest with you, but
yes,
you know, I it was, again, I'll date it now by telling you what I was watching, but I started watching Oprah Winfrey, and I got bored with that in about 6 months, so I shifted over to Judge Judy.
Nice.
I was there about 6 months, and then just got bored being at home.
Yeah.
So I decided that I was going to get back out on the road and see what was going to take place. Again, to date it, it was about 2007. I was already doing some research and seeing that, you know, this thing was about to turn to the bad pretty quickly. So I went out and started talking to mostly real estate professionals at the beginning, helping them understand what was taking place in the market and what impact that would have going forward. And that, I actually just first went out to just a couple of friends. Then those couple of friends introduced me to a couple of other friends. They referred me to a couple of other friends. And all of a sudden, I had this big speaking business. But you know, what we were talking about was really, truly understanding the market as professionals well enough that we could simply and effectively explain it to a buyer and seller.
Mm-hmm.
And the market was changing pretty dramatically, as it is today.
Sure.
You know, and the better we got at helping agents and mortgage professionals explain what was happening, the more productive those agents and mortgage professionals became.
Mm-hmm.
So it became a business for us, and now we actually have, as you referenced before, my son runs a company. We have a little over 7,000 subscribers to a monthly service we do, where we really break it down in a lot of visuals and a lot of formats, to, again, to help agents help their consumer make the right decisions for themselves.
Indeed,
all right?
You do.
We believe very strongly that every buyer and seller should make an informed decision, understanding what's taking place. And our job as a professional, whether on the mortgage side or the real estate side, is to make sure that we educate. You know, we go at it with the heart of a teacher, as Dave Ramsey would say, not the heart of a salesman. Mm-hmm. We don't worry about our pocketbook. We worry about our consumer making the right decision. And the more we, you know, embrace that, you know, the more referrals we get and the more business we do. So mm-hmm. it does add to our pocketbook, but that's not the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I love that. By serving others and providing value to others, the market, this great free enterprise system, capitalism that made this country great, takes care of you and your family. So it's a beautiful thing to watch that process. So well described. Thank you for that. Again, as a coach, I just want to reiterate what a great journey that if you just look at what, before we get into this, if you just look at Steve's ride here, he did what he did exceptionally well. That moved up from him being an originator to owning his own company to then selling that company to then saying, what would I really love to do? Passion and sort of a sense of purpose. Driving that, and once again, now you find yourself at a place where you have the option, if you chose to kick back in a lazy boy. But at the end of the day, your passion drives you to do what you're fired up about and what you're so good at. So here's my little infomercial, just for people that, if you're a realtor and you're listening to this and you are not a Keeping Current Matters subscriber, I'm really and genuinely going to tell you this, whether Steve were on the line or not, if it was just the two of us, I would say the same thing to you. You're missing a bet if you don't have access to this information on a monthly basis for you to be able to watch and listen to Steve explain what's been going on in the market, how this is relevant to your buyers and sellers, and most importantly, the graphics. I just feel like we're all a little bit ADD these days, Steve. Your beautiful graphics that your team puts together allows people to have that on their mobile device, on their smartphone, on their tablet, any place where they are with these buyers and sellers. They can make their case, make their point by being current and being very, very visually compelling. So it's such a small investment. It's an absurd thing for me to feel like I'm having to sell people on, but I just want you to know, If you're a real estate professional listening to this and you don't have this tool right now, you're a bit handicapped in the market and you should solve that today. When we're done, go to keepingcurrentmatters.com, get your 14-day trial, prove it to yourself, and then just make sure that you engage and don't ever stop. So there you go.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. That was very, very nice of you.
Well, you know I mean it, man. It's I'm just a huge proponent, and I really feel that same way for the mortgage industry as well. I think it's important for, you know, the mortgage lender, for example, that brought you this interview needs to be looking at this exact same material, subscribing to your free blog, you know, friending you on Facebook, just making sure they're staying connected. Because the beauty of this is, again, from the coach's perspective, Steve, is, you know, there was a great book written a while back called Blue Ocean Strategy. You and I may have discussed this, but the author's
point...
The basis of my company. It totally is, right? So the author's point is that the ocean of competition is red with blood because people tend to do the same thing the same way, compete. There's nothing that's a unique selling proposition. There's no differentiator. And so the author points out a number of different examples where it's a blue ocean, where if you just don't compete, but you change the game, it's the market's all yours. And, of course, the classic example of that is Cirque du Soleil. Before Cirque du Soleil, there were carnivals and there were circuses and there were stage plays and acrobats, but nobody had ever brought all of that together. And it's just magical to be able to watch this multi-billion-dollar Canadian company now, which is global, be able to say, we don't compete. And in the same way, I would just make it obvious to the listener that is really what you've done. And so by extension, I want you as a realtor to be listening to this thinking, how do I continue to differentiate myself from everybody else out there in that red ocean? So there's my there's my conviction and my belief about keeping current matters, Stephen.
And Bill, you hit that right on the head. You know, a lot of times agents will ask me, well, how do I justify my commission? How do I justify them even listing with a realtor instead of FSBOing? And all that all boils down to is their unique, value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should they, list with you instead of listing with someone else? Why should they buy from you instead of buying from someone else? You have to make sure that there are, as you said, differentiators. Mm-hmm. You know, what makes you different than the average agent in your marketplace? And when you can really very well define those points of differentiation, then you're really saying, well, it's not a matter of price, it's a matter of value.
Totally.
Sometimes we have a tendency to just look at the things we do and even question ourselves, why are we getting paid this amount of money?
Totally.
You know, there's a difference between a Yugo and a Mercedes S-Class.
Right.
They both have a steering wheel, they both have wheels, but no one's expecting to pay the same amount of money for both.
Exactly. Because
there's a different value that exists in each.
Exactly.
And what we need to do is really know how to accentuate those differences to build our value.
Well, I love the way your company does it, and I really genuinely love that you, at some point, you stuck a flag in the sand and said, you know what, there are the Floyd Wickmans and the Mike Ferries and the Tom Ferries and the Howard Brentons at the time, and there's so many great trainers out there in the real estate industry. You could have gone that route. And you
wouldn't have done well. I couldn't the names you just mentioned, I know all of them, and they're all great, great trainers. So you're right. I went to Blue Ocean Strategy. I said, let me go swim over where they're not swimming.
Well, I got to tell you, man, you did it beautifully, and that's why I'm so fired up about it. And I really don't think I'm exaggerating. May a lightning bolt come through the ceiling if I'm exaggerating, but I firmly believe that not a single day goes by that I don't mention your service. Either I'm referencing a blog post, or I'm referencing the previous month's product that you've put out. Really and truly, Steve, I just think it's so germane, it's so relevant, it's so timely, and in a market where people aren't just knocking on our door saying, hey, come list me, or gee, I'd really like to buy a piece of property. We have to feel a little bit better equipped in the market to have those conversations, and in most cases, actually start those conversations. So with that said, let's go someplace topical, if I may. And you and I spoke about this before we started recording, so it's not like I'm jumping off a cliff here hoping you're going to catch up with me. I know we're both on the same page with this. But there was an article in Housing Wire, a newsletter that I very much enjoy, every day, just kind of getting a glimpse of the market. And, like you, I certainly don't agree with everything that's in there, but there's some great pieces. And this was from June 25th, and it was a Nomura sort of led article by Trey Garrison. And the title was Fear is Keeping Housing Demand Pent Up. And so the author points out that, some people point to the weather, and the weather was brutal for the Northeast and the Midwest, there's no doubt. And then some people point to the sort of the artificial inflation of real estate through investors and the hedge funds and the cash deals and the foreign investment, and there's no doubt that's true. And then they point to the first-time home buyers really not being in a position to take advantage of the market because of the millennials getting, $100,000 educations to get $40,000 jobs. And you know what? There's some truth in that. But then the author points something out that I just thought was phenomenal for us to own as particularly real estate professionals. And that is, what it's really about are some incorrect assumptions that I can't engage in this market. So would you just react to that, Steve? Because I think this is the rope and the handle on the back of the Evinrude on the little boat, that if I just pull this, I can get you started right now on a hot topic.
Yeah, we can go like really, really crazy on this topic, because it's something that I believe very strongly. As a matter of fact, we address pretty powerfully. in this month's issue. Prior to us having a conversation about it, I also saw that article and other articles like it, and did a little research. You know, I have a good research team here, so we did a little research on it, mm-hmm. and realized that the challenge was even greater than that article even talked about. So we got some real specifics on it. Basically, what we're saying is, yes, you know, the weather, what, like you said, the weather was a challenge at the beginning of the year. But in Southern California, weather wasn't the weather wasn't
exactly.
a problem, and
yep.
still there were sales there that the sales there didn't keep up with what expectations were.
Mm-hmm.
There are some investors that are now pulling out of the market. There's no question as far as that's concerned, and that's causing. But you know what? Those numbers have been really exaggerated in people's minds.
Mm.
But probably one of the biggest challenges we have is that there are people sitting on the sideline, mom and dad, the mom and dad's kid who just graduated college, that can afford to buy a house. They just don't think they can.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, the article that you mentioned, it goes particularly to credit scores and how much of a down payment.
Right.
And what the article said is, it's not that they don't have, that they won't qualify for a mortgage. It's that they think they won't qualify
mm-hmm.
for a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of being rejected or declined or refused. They don't want to go through that embarrassment. So they're hearing, when QR and QRM first came out, you're going to need at least 20% down or else you're never going to get a mortgage.
Right.
Well, that was big news. That was headline news.
Sure.
The fact that that didn't really happen was like on page 37 of the paper.
Yeah.
So now people are thinking that, well, the banks got really, really strict. And I'm not saying that lending standards aren't stricter now than they were in 2006.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I'm glad that's the case, but they're not what people think. As a matter of fact,
exactly.
our research team, like I said, said, let's go a little deeper on this. And there was actually a study done by Ivy Selman and her company just a couple of weeks ago that showed that 39%, pretty much 4 out of 10 Americans, believe that you need a minimum of 15% down or you shouldn't even go look at a house.
Wow.
So you have to think now, whether you're a real estate professional or whether you're a mortgage professional, 4 out of 10 people that you bump into in the street
mm-hmm.
think that they need at least a minimum of 15% down or they have no chance of purchasing a home.
Boy, this is important information to have, right? Because our assumption as real estate professionals is very different. You're saying what we need to be thinking about is 4 out of 10 people that we bump into, that's their belief right now.
That's their belief, and because of that, they might not bump into us.
Yeah.
If they see us coming, they might run the other way because they don't want to be embarrassed.
I can't do this. I'm going to the movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. They're not looking. The desire for home ownership. There's a million studies we can cite on that. Has not died at all. As a matter of fact, since the crisis, the Great Recession, belief in home ownership has increased in this country, not decreased.
Wow. All right. That's great to hear.
Yeah, but the challenge is not that they don't believe in they should purchase a home.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is they think that they need something they don't need. As a matter of fact, based on the Ivy Selman study, as we were going through it, Freddie Mac actually came out and addressed the issue. Christina Boyle, the Freddie Mac's vice president, head of single family sales and relationship mm-hmm. management, and yes, I did read that because I wanted to make sure I got it right.
Cool.
She came out and said, letting more consumers know how down payments are determined could bring more qualified buyers off the sidelines. Depending on their credit history and other factors, many borrowers can expect to make a down payment of about 5 or 10%. That's Freddie Mac making that statement
wow.
based on the studies coming out saying, the American public has it all wrong. Freddie Mac went into that 40% of loans and 20% of their loans, loans that are
right.
Conforming conventional mortgages,
yeah.
20%, 1 out of 5 have 10% or less down.
That is amazing.
And the amount of loans where we're thinking, and this is what the public's thinking, tightening, credit is tightening and tightening and tightening. Freddie Mac's purchase of mortgages with down payments under 10% more than quadrupled between 2009 and 2013.
That is amazing.
All right. So what we have here is we have the public believing one thing
yeah.
and reality being something else.
Yes.
And now that's a challenge because, as we all know, that when people are confused, confusion creates fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear creates paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd rather not get involved in even thinking about buying a house. Of course, again, they don't want to be rejected. They don't want to be declined. They don't have 20% or 15% down, so they don't even want to have a conversation with anyone. When in reality, DAX Infusion is a tremendous opportunity for the true professionals in both the real estate industry and the mortgage industry.
So that's really where I want to go, is what do we do with this? And by the way, I can't help but bring a little old school sales training cornball acronym into this. But, you know, most people that listen to this right now have heard the old acronym on FEAR, that it's false expectations appearing real. But okay, I truly cannot imagine a better application for that than what you just laid out.
If we educate, which is really our job, mm-hmm, all right, whether you're a real estate professional or a mortgage professional, mm-hmm, our number one job is to educate the public.
Mm-hmm.
Both of our industries, every industry in the world, lost a tremendous amount of trust through the Great Recession.
Totally.
All right, people just don't trust people as much anymore,
yep,
whether it be, you know, because of stockbrokers taking advantage of people, whether it be, people losing money in real estate for the first time in our lifetimes.
Mm.
You know, all of a sudden the trust factor came flying out the window.
Right.
The only way to get that trust factor back is not to become a better salesperson. And I understand we're all salespeople and selling is important.
Sure.
But what we really need to become to be the best at selling is become educators.
Mm.
You know, we have to go at it with the heart of a teacher, not the heart of a salesman.
Yes.
They shouldn't see dollar signs in our eyes. Dollar signs shouldn't be in our eyes. Well, we should be sitting, when we're sitting in front of every single client, we should be considering what's the best thing for that client and helping them understand what's taking place in the market so they and their family can make the best decisions.
Yes.
Right now, what's my big fear? I think that what you're talking about, how we're going to do this, which we'll get to in a second, I think it's a moral obligation we have.
Indeed.
We definitely have the legal and ethical obligation. On the real estate side, most of us sign, you know, sign onto the code of ethics,
mm,
that say we have a legal and ethical responsibility to educate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's even greater than that. I think that we have a moral obligation because, ladies and gentlemen, anyone on this call knows two things are happening. Home prices are already rising and mortgage rates are about to.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that a young couple or a move up, a family ready to move up to their dream house,
mm-hmm,
is going to be much more expensive for them a year from now than it is now.
Absolutely.
So if they're waiting to save a couple of extra dollars on this false understanding,
mm,
that they need those couple of extra dollars, it's going to cost them tens of thousands, and at the higher price points, hundreds of thousands of dollars over a 30-year loan.
Absolutely.
If they buy a year from now instead of buying now. So we have to take the fear that's preventing them from moving forward now away. I'm not saying sell them a house. If they shouldn't be buying a house, don't buy a house. But they should not be not buying the house because of fear.
Indeed.
They should be doing it from a point. So what does
Indeed.
That mean to us? How do we get this done?
Yep.
I think that it's pretty simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We have to educate. What would I suggest on that? To get as many people together as you possibly can and do, you know, little town hall meetings, little classes,
mm-hmm,
on it.
Mm-hmm.
What we did in the last KCM is suggest to all our 7,000 subscribers that whether it be in their office, whether it be in a mortgage professional's office, whether it be at the local library, let's start getting groups of people together and explain to them exactly, if you're thinking about purchasing a home, we want to go over all the things that you're going to need to know.
Mm.
And actually set up these little meetings. And you're going to start with 3 or 4 or 5 people.
Sure.
There's a firm in Chicago. They started with 40. They did a really good job of putting it out.
Good for them.
And of those 40 people, 4 people who didn't think they could buy bought a house that weekend. And they have another 10 people that they're working with because they needed a little scrubbing on their credit score to go ahead and buy.
Mm.
But all of those 40 people came to that meeting thinking there's no way they were going to purchase.
Right. Right.
4 of them are going to be a homeowner in the next 60 days.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
So we have that obligation to continue to do that and do that in every single town and every single community.
So here's what I'm hearing in the background. It's the Doobie Brothers singing Taking It to the Streets, right? That's the music in the back of my head as I hear you describe that, because, Steve, I believe that's the call to action. I really believe that with all my heart. Now, that's not to say you can't start today by having a one-on-one conversation with someone, and that's not to say that you couldn't have this in your office, right, with a small group, or if you're a mortgage lender, if you're the person that brought the realtor this interview, then, you know, maybe you're the person who does this inside a real estate office, and you try and ignite the interest and the conviction of a larger group of people. And for some of you, you know, maybe there's a millennial, Steve, that's on the call right now, somebody in their 20s that is saying, you know what, this is a great idea. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put together a webinar, or I'm going to connect with people on Google Plus. But I don't really care how you do it. Do it. This is the message that can help to lead housing out of this sort of anemia that it's in. And I think, Steve, what you're saying is we have a responsibility. This is what we have to do as real estate professionals is educate. No guns to the head, exactly as you said. This is about bringing out the true facts, that which is not really reported, right? And helping people to see, okay, so now that I understand that, I actually do have other options. Now I'm going to make a decision about what I'm going to do for me and my family.
You're giving them the freedom to make the decision based on facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing my father taught me growing up, you know, the whole thing in life is you want to make sure you know all your options.
Mm-hmm.
If you know all your options, then you can make the best decision. Right now, people don't know all their options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our responsibility. You know, we've kind of, both industries, both the mortgage industry and the real estate industry, you know, going over the last couple of years, sometimes we had a tendency to wait for somebody else to make, like, the call. You know, the government's
right.
got to come in and do this, or, you know, the banks have to come in and do this, or the banks are thinking a real estate company has. Hey, listen, this is what the call is right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a challenge in the industry. We have to kickstart this. It's already
mm-hmm.
doing well, but we have the potential to really build on that momentum in a big way right now
mm-hmm.
and help a whole bunch of people not lose a whole bunch of family wealth
mm-hmm.
in the equity of their homes by going ahead and purchasing now if it makes sense for them to purchase now.
Absolutely.
All right? All right, and we have that responsibility to do that. You know, sometimes I think, really, that, you know, we're like always looking over our shoulders waiting for the cavalry to come. We
right.
have to understand the best real estate agents and the best mortgage brokers in this country, we are the cavalry.
We're the people
everyone else is waiting for to come.
Right. That's
so
right.
It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to say, you know what? This might not be the easiest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We might not get 400 people at the first meeting. We might get 4 people at the first
mm-hmm.
meeting. But that doesn't mean the meeting doesn't matter, because those 4 people is the start. And then they're going to tell people, you know what? I learned a lot at this meeting. You should get to the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you do it as a Google Plus, whether you do it, and we have agents across the country. Some are doing it right in their offices with groups,
mm-hmm.
you know, 4 or 5 people.
Yeah.
Some have started it a little bit earlier, and they found out that, you know, it's a great place to have 100 people once a quarter is in their local neighborhood movie theater on a weekday morning. They can
That's
get it
a
for
great
almost
idea.
Nothing. They get it for almost nothing. The people come in, and they say, all right, fine, this is what the real scoop is. But here's an important point, because if ever there was a time that the best mortgage professionals and
mm-hmm.
the best real estate agents had to work together to put a program together,
yes.
some sort of learning experience together,
mm-hmm.
this is that time.
Yeah.
Now, for all the real estate agents out there, I'm a realtor. I've been a realtor for 30 years. There's never been a time in my career that I didn't need a great mortgage professional more than I need them today.
Mm.
Our business is changing dramatically. Keeping up with what's just happening in our business is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
The best in our industry understand that.
Agreed.
The mortgage business is changing more rapidly than our business is changing.
Oh, absolutely.
We need a person that's got that as a full-time job.
Yeah.
And if we come together, we let them know that this is the values of homeownership, this is the value that you have, not just from a monetary standpoint,
mm-hmm.
worrying about your kids, worrying about your safety, worrying about building a, you know, a sense of community, all the things that homeownership brings with it, all right? But there is a financial aspect. Make sure that when you have those meetings, whoever your top person is, guy or gal,
mm-hmm.
whoever that top person is on the mortgage side that you trust, make sure not just that they're in the room, but they're explaining what they need to explain to the people sitting in that room.
Yeah.
You know, if we do this together right now, I think we really have an opportunity, you know, to change the industry in a big way, you know, because every time there's a challenge, there's also an opportunity associated with that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge is large. The opportunity is just as big. All right, but
Absolutely.
We have to jump in it. We have to do it.
Now, Steve, that's a beautiful thing. I love the way that you've laid it out, and it is a challenge. Look, I've been, as you have, in the seminar business directly and indirectly for almost 30 years, And, you know, if you've ever spoken to a promoter, and I know you have, people whose job it is to fill events and venues, and then Steve Harney comes in and speaks to that audience, promoters, by their very nature, tend to exaggerate and inflate their numbers and so forth, but their business is one thing, and they call it butts in seats. You know you've heard that expression, butts in seats. So in speaking to realtors right now and mortgage lenders in this particular interview, I just want you to look at that as sort of that's your charge right now, is to say it's not about you putting together the greatest content, although that's important. It's not about you selecting the right venue, although that's going to be enormously helpful. It's really going to be about getting butts in seats, and that's an entirely different business than what you've been in. The good news is there are lessons out there. You know, Gary Keller in his book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, talks about, others have gone before us, right? So get the lessons. Go online. It's not going to take much effort to figure out how to fill a room. But I'll tell you one of the most critical things, since you're not charging for it, is to confirm the day before. So as you get ready to do this, a day or two before, 24 to 48 hours before, somebody on your team has to call the people that have RSVP'd and say the following words: we're saving a seat for you. Look forward to seeing you there. If you do that, it engages the law of reciprocity. Dr. Robert Cialdini calls it in his book, Non-Manipulative Selling. Or no, that's Alessandra. It's Influence, I think, is his book. But it engages a feeling that, wow, that's right, they're saving a seat for me. I need to be there. I just want to offer you a little tidbit that's going to help you to get more people there.
Let me just jump in on what you just said.
Please.
The other thing that you can do, ladies and gentlemen, especially for the younger people, and we're not just talking about first-time home buyers here.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the move-up buyer doesn't have as much equity in their house because of what has taken place over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They also are afraid they don't have enough money to move into their dream house.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not allow them not to make a move that they really in their hearts want to make as a family because of misinformation. So we're not just talking about the first-time home buyer. But for the young buyers, ask them. Do you want us to text you to remind you? Do you want us to text you the information?
Great point.
That morning, that very morning, text them and say, looking forward to seeing you. That's a big little extra you can do. And most people, believe it or not, because we're shocked at it, most people say, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then just text them that morning. That will also guarantee more of the people that registered actually show up.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bill.
They just need a reminder. That's a great tip. Hey, I want to speak to the realtors for just a moment, Steve, on something that I think that you triggered a thought in my mind, because I hear this all the time. You know, more and more now, realtors are hearing from the buyers that they meet that they've already been pre-approved and they've already got a relationship with a lender. And yet, if you compare that to what I see happening in the market from my perspective, is I see more and more of the large banks pulling out of these MSAs with large real estate companies, and it creates a vacuum. The vacuum is that, especially with the larger teams, i.e. the realtors for the most part that we're talking to right now, whether they have large teams or small teams, if they're not doing a lot of volume, quite honestly, they're probably not being targeted to receive these interviews. So we're talking to top producers. We're preaching to the choir. And I heard a realtor say the other day, well, here's how I deal with that. When that buyer says to me, very often very well educated, very often very assertive, and they say, no, we're fine. We're pre-approved. We've already got that. The realtor says to that person, well, here's the thing. I've just put you on a bus with me, and we're on this journey to put you in the home of your dreams, successfully closed at the right time with no 11th-hour surprises at the last minute. What you've just asked me to do is pull the bus over, hear the air brakes, the doors open, a stranger gets on the bus I've never met. I don't know who this person is. I don't know how long they've been in the business. I don't know their ethics. I don't know what their percentage of successful closings is on time. I don't know that person. That is a variable for me that's going to affect our transaction. You can do whatever you like, Mr. Buyer. It's up to you, but here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to spend 20 quality minutes with Steve Harney with Acme Mortgage, and here's why. Steve can help me to help you put you in the home of your dreams. What's the best number for me to have Steve reach you at? That script can make a difference on you having that mortgage partner that you know so strongly is going to dramatically increase the odds of a successful closing. And I think the more that we begin to use stories like that and help that buyer to see you think you've got that part handled, that you are actually potentially at risk. That, to me, is a game changer.
Well, no doubt. I think that anyone on this call, and I agree with you, it's my assumption, even talking here, that we're talking to the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And the best of the best understand one thing. They want to surround themselves with people like them.
Totally.
You know, whether it be LeBron James, whether it be a baseball player, whether it be someone working on the opera. They want to surround themselves with the best players
totally.
That can bring out the best performance.
Totally.
And it's the same thing here. There's no difference than that. And if you're in a situation where, you know, because a buyer, met somebody or whatever the case may be, and it might be a great person. We don't know
mm-hmm.
that. But the
mm-hmm.
most important part of that sentence is we don't know that.
Yeah.
All right? And we
yeah.
want to deal with the people that we know are going to bring this deal to fruition.
Totally.
And sometimes you can even talk to a buyer and say, well, listen, you know, we have to sell this house two times. You know, you're going to buy it, then we have to sell it to the bank and sell you to the bank.
That's
you know,
great.
All those things are sales
I haven't heard
processes.
That before. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all these things are sales processes, and I want to make sure that I know the team I'm bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I know their qualifications.
Exactly.
You know, I vetted every one of them.
Exactly.
And I vetted them strongly. And now you're asking me to bring somebody to the table that I've never even met, never mind vetted.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure if that's the right thing to get this process complete. You know,
well, it happens. You know, and again, for some of the realtors with teams, and you know this, especially rainmakers who have buyer's agents, the buyer's agents may not quite have that depth of confidence. And so maybe, you know, a couple of the comments that we've shared here that we've learned from the best of the best over the years might bring value to them. Steve, let me ask you a final question in closing,
sure.
and I really mean this. With 7,000 subscribers, 7,000 real estate agents that invest every month in Keeping Current Matters, what are the best practices that you and your team have seen? Because quite honestly, there are probably some things that you hadn't thought of when you first put the product together that you hear success stories back on, and maybe there's just a few sort of simple disciplines. I mean, I'll start with one, and that is my admonition to you as a coach would be if you subscribe to Keeping Current Matters, but you don't listen to it, you don't watch it, you don't internalize it every month because you're, I'm doing finger quotes in the air here, too busy, it's going to be like buying a gym membership and never going to the gym. You're not going to get any results. So the critical element to me from a coaching perspective would be, I would rather, and I think Steve would feel the same way, I would rather you not subscribe. I actually feel that way about TalkJet as well, if you're not going to listen to it, right? If you're going to do it, do it. So
yeah,
you tell me.
Yeah, you know, it, very obviously, anything that you invest in, you want to get the highest return on that investment. And
mm-hmm.
if you're not going to get the best return on that investment, why are you even making the investment?
Right.
So we actually go, you know, we get a little bit crazy with that. You know, when people first, you know, sign up for KCM to become a member of KCM,
mm-hmm.
you know, we actually look at, you know, whether they're opening it and whether they're using it. And if they're not, we send them an email saying, hey, what's up?
Nice.
Do we like insult you or whatever? Because, you know, we don't see you on the site. If you're not on the site, maybe the best thing for you to do is, you know, save you $20 a month.
I love that.
All right,
that.
So we actually go further than that. We don't want to take money from people. You know, every one of us, everyone on this call, you know, money's a part of the equation. We
mm-hmm.
need to put food on our family's table. We have to keep a roof over our family's heads. I understand that. Money's part of the equation. But I would assume for the vast majority of people on this call, money's not the be-all and end-all of the equation.
Mm.
What's the be-all and end-all is the fact that we're doing great work, helping, and what we do, ladies and gentlemen, is not list and sell houses. We build America.
Mm.
That's what we do.
Yes.
We build people's lives. We enable people to be socially mobile. We enable people to buy a piece of the greatest country in the world. So what we do is much more important than list and sell houses. Sometimes we get caught up in a transaction, and we don't realize how it's infecting the people, the neighborhoods, the regions, and the country.
Mm.
And that's like the really, really key piece of it.
Absolutely.
So when we're doing KCM, sure, we're worried about, well, are we getting the money on the subscriptions? You know, there's somebody that does worry about that.
Sure.
I don't.
Sure.
You know, what I worry about is, are we helping buyers and sellers make the best decisions they could make today on what's happening? How do we avoid what happened from 2006 to 2011? Through education. Because there was a lack of good education in those years that caused what happened.
Absolutely.
And so we're never going to let that happen again. We're committed to that. People like you, Bill, that, again, your whole life is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Let's educate. Let's be a servant to the people that, you know, we deal with.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure that if we're going to be a trusted advisor, we have to have good advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in order to have good advice, we have to kind of know what's happening.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's what it's about in a gigantic way. Be the best you can be, understand the market the best you can understand it, and then the next step is not just having those dots.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of people throwing dots out there. You can get a lot of newspapers, you can read a lot of newspapers, listen to Bloomberg News, you know, watch CNBC. Mm. What our job is, whether it be a mortgage person or real estate, is not giving them more dots. Our job is to connect the dots.
Nice.
What does that mean to them?
Nice.
The fact that the Fed has decided to end all tapering by the end of this year. Well, that means interest rates are going to go up. Let me tell you how that affects you.
Right.
Now, to us, we understand, well, if prices are going up and interest rates are going up, that mortgage payment is really going to go up. It's
sure.
Getting multiplied twice.
Sure.
All right? And but the layperson doesn't understand that.
Mm.
It's our job to help them understand. Yes, there's a cost to getting involved in purchasing a house right now. But there's also going to be a cost in not getting involved in purchasing
mm-hmm.
a house right now. It's our job to help them understand what those two costs are and then let them make the decision.
Right, right.
Whether it makes sense to move forward. Let them make the decision, is this the year they're going to move their kid into the school that has a great football team and their kid is going to be a professional football player? Well,
right.
Instead of waiting to save a couple of extra dollars for a better down payment that you don't need, let's talk about how you can get into that school district right now and let your kids start on the freshman team. You know,
so here's what I know in closing. As I listen to you, Steve, and every time I've ever listened to you, I have the same reaction. My heart rate goes up, and I feel emboldened. I feel stronger because of your conviction. I sort of borrow your conviction. And if that was only in a seminar at some point, then it would probably only be every couple of years. But what I know is I have the opportunity to have you do what you just did to me in this call once a month, and that is get me fired up, get me emboldened, get me equipped to go out and have these conversations. So, again, this is just a no-brainer. The KCM subscription has to happen. But, Steve, thank you so much for making the time to share with our audience today. I think that the right thing to do right now is to find a way to take this message to the streets and figure out for yourself how you're going to do that. And maybe experiment. Maybe you'll try a few different ways to do it. But this isn't a matter of if I should do this. It's a matter of how. And more importantly, when. So, Steve, thanks so much for being with us. Any closing thoughts for our listeners today before we wrap this one up?
Don't think about it. Do it. It's important. And, Bill, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. It's an honor. And what you said about, you know, me getting you, like, going,
yes.
That's a two-way street, baby.
Nice.
When we're on the phone, it's easy for me to get going when you're talking to me. So,
nice, buddy. It's a pleasure. Continued success to you, and we'll look forward to this month's Keeping Current Matters as well as future editions. So thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate your expertise and your willingness to share.
No problem, Bill. Anytime.
Okay, so what do you do after listening to an interview like that? That kind of content, that kind of information, and quite honestly, that kind of conviction can't just be education for you. That's got to be something that leads you to action. I am going to strongly encourage you to sit down with the individual that delivered this interview to you, whether physically or virtually, however they got it to you. Sit down and have a conversation with them about doing exactly what Steve recommends, and that is schedule a real estate town hall. Find a way to close the gap between what the consumer thinks and what the reality of the market is, and help people right now by being a resource to them to help them to see the truth about likely what's going to happen to property values and what very likely is going to happen to mortgage interest rates. Sit down and have that conversation. I think you're going to look back and say, that was an amazing way for me to finish 2014 strong and maybe get a strong kickoff to 2015. Until next month, this is Coach Bill Hart. Make it a great day.